God bless you once again. Here we are in our tape three of this four tape set on the healing anointing. And in this tape, we're ready to talk about preparing the people. You'll recall my name's Kevin Porter with Light Bearers Ministries. And we've been studying, first of all, how to prepare yourself, your own personal preparation of spending much time studying the Word, reading the Word, get filled up with the Word of God, and then speaking much in tongues. And then in the second tape, we talked about receiving the anointing, how God instructs us in His Word that we are to covet earnestly the best gifts. In other words, the gifts that we need at that moment in order to be able to do the will of God, one of which is the gift of healing. And we are to go before the throne of God. We are to get into the presence of God and go before the throne of God that we can receive that which we need so that we can be effective ministers of Jesus Christ. See, preparation is the key to success. And in this third tape, we're going to talk about preparing God's people, how you prepare people to receive their healing, how you prepare people to receive that blessing into their lives. Hallelujah. Bless God forever. And so many of the healings that I have seen have occurred in places and at times where the Word has been taught in a great abundance. And the Word has plowed people's hearts. And the Word has prepared the hearts of God's people so that they can receive. Boy, I remember one night I was teaching a number of years ago in Los Angeles, and I was teaching a class on the gifts of the Spirit, and we had seven or eight people that just received gifts of healings in terms of dramatic healings in their own hearts and lives of things that they had been afflicted with all their lives. And it was just a powerful move of the Spirit of God. And it was the result of that. The result of that was the opening of the door to my ministry in Africa, because one of the women who got healed that night, and God dramatically touched her and healed her of the condition of diabetes in her body, and just, you know, rechanged and reformed her blood chemistry so that she didn't need so that she was free of that condition. And that was Naomi Mina. And she had come from Nairobi, Kenya, by the invitation of her daughter, to be in this class that I was teaching, and God touched her in a mighty way. And she was the one who opened the door for us for our ministry to Africa. And you see, gifts of healing is listed fourth among the gifts of the Spirit, and four is the number for the world. And gifts of healing will launch your ministry out into the world. Bless God forever. That's right. He gives you that gift, that specific gift, and that will open doors for you. Because if you can minister healing, you can go anywhere. That's right. If you can minister healing effectively, you can go anywhere, because people are sick all over the place. Bless God forever. They definitely need the healing power of God all over the place. And you and I are sent to preach, teach, and heal. Bless God forever. And so this ministry, now that you're learning how to minister healing, and this study right now of preparing people to receive their healing is very important for you and will help you in immense ways. Now, the first thing that you want to understand is that there's two types of suffering. There is necessary suffering, and then there is unnecessary suffering. And the purpose of healing is to relieve unnecessary suffering. That's right. There is necessary suffering. For instance, fasting is necessary suffering. Your body was made to eat food. That's right. Your body was made to eat food. So when you withhold food from your body for a period of time, it's necessary in order to achieve the things that fasting does, of humbling yourself, of getting answers from God, or getting direction, the things that you need. But it's suffering, but it's necessary suffering. That's right. When you do it rightly. I know I love to eat, bless God forever. And when I fast, my body is suffering. Hallelujah. But Because I'm like you. I love to eat. Bless God forever. And so when we fast, when we go without eating, there's suffering involved. But it's necessary suffering in order to accomplish that which fasting accomplishes. But there's also, many times, there's necessary suffering in service. That's right. I mean, some of the places that we go, some of the things that we do are very uncomfortable. That's right. They're very challenging, mentally and physically and emotionally. The traveling that we have to do, the teaching that we have to do, the places that we have to go, the sufferings, it's real. It's palpable. But it's necessary in order to accomplish that which God has called you to do. See, it says in Romans 8:17, it says, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. You see, this is one necessary aspect of Christianity that generally doesn't get taught too much in church, but that there is necessary suffering. And the fruit is that we're all, because if we go through the necessary suffering with Him of doing His work, of being His ambassador, of being His messengers, of being His representatives here upon earth, then we're going to be glorified with Him. Hallelujah. There's a reward for this necessary suffering. Now, there is unnecessary suffering, and that's what most people endure most of the time. You know, the suffering that people go through is not usually, it's not necessary suffering, it's usually unnecessary. And this is not perhaps a comprehensive list, but I've come up with at least four ways that people suffer. And when you understand how people are suffering or what's causing people suffering, then you can understand how to minister to them most effectively. There is self-made suffering. For instance, worry is, for the most part, it's self-made suffering. It's, you know, worry and the anguish of worry and the pressure of worry and the torment of worry is a physical thing. It's a mental thing that causes physical reactions in the physical body, but it's self-made. See, it's self-made. It's something that you just came up with. I mean, because we've always been taught that if you love someone, you worry about them. At least, you know, at least in my family, my mother said, "I don't worry about you so much." And she didn't mean it in a bad way. She meant to say that I love you and I care about you. But the Word of God says that we're to be anxious for nothing, that we are to cast all of our care upon Him. So if we're afflicted with worry, it's really a self-made thing. It's a self-made, suffering, and it's unnecessary. That's right. There's man-made suffering, which is generally the result of government policies, or it could be the result of a family policy. The father of the family doesn't provide for his family, and so his family suffers. That's man-made suffering. That's right. You know, or the government has wrong policies that cause the people that are under that government to suffer. That's right. You know, or, you know, war causes tremendous suffering. There's perhaps no greater cause of suffering in the world today than war. That's right. I mean, the African nations that I minister in so many times, there's rebels running in, you know, and out every other day, it seems like. And all war does is destroy things and kill people. That's right. It's man-made, but it's man-made suffering, and we can take authority over it. You see, when the Spirit of God really moves in a place, there's peace. Bless God forever. When the Spirit of God really moves in a place, there's peace. It's, you know, you see that over and over again in Israel. It says they had the land had rest from war, you know, because of the move of the Spirit of God and what men of God did as they walked by the Spirit. So this man-made suffering is unnecessary, and it must be relieved. It can be relieved. There is natural suffering. You know, we have natural human bodies, and through the course of time, you go through the process of aging and everything else, and, you know, your bones don't work as well as they used to. Your your organs don't perhaps work the way they used to because of either, you know, bad diet or lack of exercise or wrong exercise or some abuse that you've done to yourself, and it causes natural suffering in the physical human body. Or there could be demonic suffering that causes in the body and the mind of the person. You see, that natural suffering could also be under the category of a virus. That's right, or bacteria. These are natural things in the natural realm that cause suffering in the human body. That's right. And it's all unnecessary. It can all be dealt with. That's right. But then on the other hand, there's demons. There's specific sickness in the mind and body that comes that's demonic. That's right. That's right. You see, there can be self-made worry, and then there can be demonic worry. That's right. There can be, high blood pressure can be caused by, a blockage in the colon or different, physical problems. But it also can be caused by a demon of stress or tension. That's right. And until you start to learn to recognize these things, you're not really going to know how to minister effectively because you're not going to get to the cause of the problem. See? Well, you've got to learn to recognize the cause of people's problems, because you can deal with the symptoms, but if you don't deal with the cause, then the symptoms are going to come right back an hour later or 3 months later or a year later or whatever it is, because the underlying cause of the problem is still there. See? So you need to learn to recognize these things, and you need to begin to quest and to seek out why. You know, what's causing the problem? What's the root of the cause? Is it self-made? Is it man-made? Is it natural? Is it demonic? You know, what is the cause of this unnecessary suffering that is going on in this person's life? See? And as you ask these questions and as you seek the answers, the Holy Spirit's going to show it to you, and then you're going to be able to effectively minister to that person. You see, we need to speak the right word at the right time. Look at Romans chapter 10. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God, the word of God. And now the word rhema, it simply means the right word at the right time. You know, I was talking with another believer, another man of God, and he, you know, he just did that. I was talking with him on the phone, and we were talking about a particular person and a particular situation, and he said something just out of the blue that made so much sense to me. I believe it was a rhema of God. It was the right word at the right time. You see, I think I told you that story about the woman who had been in a wheelchair, and she was in a walker. You know, she'd gotten a partial healing, and she was in a walker. And then, something happened where her whole back collapsed. And I asked God to give me a word to speak to her, and the word he gave me was condemnation. And I knew from that word that I had something to run with, and I spoke it out, and God just gave me the whole thing. He just laid the whole thing out to me so that I could speak it out to her. And it was that word that built her faith. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the right word at the right time. Bless God forever. And you can learn to speak that right word. As you stay quiet, and as you open your mouth by the Spirit of God. Here in Mark chapter 13, let me show you this one. Mark chapter 13. It says in verse 11, bless your heart. So when they arrest you, and this is talking about, a Christian being arrested for preaching the gospel. But the application is in light of whenever you speak by the Spirit of God. It says, when they arrest you, deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. Now you see, this doesn't mean that you don't speak in tongues beforehand. This doesn't mean that you don't read the Bible beforehand. This doesn't mean that your mind is not full of the Word beforehand. It just means that you haven't written out the speech of what you're going to say. You're prepared in the sense that you have spoken much in tongues. You're prepared in the sense that you have read the Word. You're full of the Word. and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. But it says here, you don't worry, you don't premeditate, you don't plan what you're going to say. You open your mouth by faith, and you let the Word of God come out of you, you see. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Bless God forever. You see, that's when the Holy Spirit speaks through you, that is how to minister faith. See, and faith is required on that person's part in order for them to receive their healing, in order for them to receive anything from God. That's right. There's got to be faith. There's got to be faith. There's got to be the measure of faith. There's got to be enough faith released in that situation so that people can believe and receive. See? Now, Jesus' manner of ministry was to preach, teach, and heal. That's right. Bless God forever. Now, what you do is you preach and you teach the Word. You teach the Word. You don't teach your experiences. You know, experiences don't answer people's questions for the most part. Experiences confirm the Word. I mean, incidents or experiences confirm the Word. But they don't really get faith until they see it in the Word themselves. That's why I love to open the Word to people. And many times, the revelation that you get will be how much of the Word of God you need to minister to that person in order to build their faith so that they can receive. You see, you do this right. You get yourself prepared, you receive the anointing, you prepare the people, then when it comes to actually ministering healing, it's just a snap. It's just that easy. It's just that simple. Because they're ready to receive, you're ready to give it, God has given it to you, and you just lay hands on it, you command it to come to pass, and it happens. See? So this is the real key, is how much of the Word, you know, which Word, what Word, and how much of it do I need to minister to this person, do I need to impart to this person to the end that they can believe God and receive. See? Now, some people, many times, with a young believer or even with an unsaved person, they have so much respect for you as a man of God coming in there, that it takes, there's very little word that they need to receive from you in order to get healed. Because they just figure, if you pray for them, they're going to get healed. See? And, you know, we had this experience going to India. I mean, we would minister in India, and these people, the faith of these people was so high that you could say, you know, the Giants win the World Series. Lay hands on them and say, Giants win the World Series, and they get healed. Why? Because it's not in the word that you spoke, but in their faith. Their faith said, if this preacher comes and lays hands on me and speaks over me, I'm going to get healed. And they receive. They get healed just by their faith. See? So, this is why you got to carry yourself in such a way that people respect you. That's right. You got to carry yourself. You got to have such integrity. You got to have such a walk of not, you know, pride or arrogance, but of such a walk that people know that you speak for God. That people know that you represent God. That people know that your life is committed to Him. Then they're going to come with faith and expectation that when you lay hands on them or you pray for them, that they're going to receive from God because they know you have a walk with God. See? That's why you got to live your life this way. You got to walk with integrity. You got to walk with accuracy. You got to walk in love and humility. See? But then you minister the Word. You minister the Word, whether it takes 10 minutes or whether it takes 2 hours. It's not important. It's important that they get enough of the Word to the point where they have faith. You know, it might be that they need to come and sit all week through your meetings. See? You know, they come to you on Monday. You know, you're doing a week's worth of meetings. And the Holy Spirit says, have them come back on Friday. And I say to them, you come, you be in every meeting. You be in every meeting between now and Friday. And when Friday comes, I'll minister to you. And God will heal you. But we do conferences. I see conferences all the time. And people have more faith at the end of a conference than they do at the beginning of the conference. Why? Because they're hearing the word all the way through. And that word is building their faith. See? This is a real walk in wisdom. It's a real walk in wisdom. I see ministers all the time that just try to, you know, bring people in cold off the street and start ministering healing. And generally, it doesn't bear much fruit. You know, I'm interested in seeing fruit. I want to see if somebody can, minister more effectively than I have, then I'm going to go study them and find out how they do it. See? But I see a lot of ministers get up and they'll start praying for people or praying for the sick or ministering to people, and they haven't taught the word yet. The word hasn't been built. And so they're just going off of whatever faith that person brought into that meeting. See? You know, and sometimes it's effective, usually it isn't. Sometimes it's effective, usually it isn't. That's right. You got to build the word in people. You got to build the word. You got to build faith. You got to take the time to speak accurately into those people's lives. Then they can, faith is built, and then they can receive. See? Too many times ministers they see a healing at the service, or they see a partial healing at the service, and then the person loses it later on. Why? Because the word hasn't been built. The word hasn't been built. That's right. People ask me, they say, Kevin, why do we see so many people losing their healings? Well, it's because God wanted to do a work in them, and He did to a certain degree, but when they got out of the meeting, they lost their faith, and then when they lost their faith, they lost the healing. See? And it's because they didn't get the word. They didn't get the word. They didn't get the word. Either by a rhema word or by the written word, it has to be become a personal thing to them. See? That's right. You got to speak when you speak by the Spirit of God, you know what'll happen? It'll go right to their heart. When you're speaking by the Spirit of God, it goes right through. It's like a sword. It's the sword of the Spirit, and it goes right to the heart of that person, and they begin to weep and cry, or they open up. They because the word is piercing through all their defenses and all their stuff that they have in the way, and it's going right to their heart. See, and when that happens, then you can minister to that person. Well, then you can minister to that person. But you've got to speak the word. You've got to get to it. You've got to speak the word. Jesus' pattern of ministry was to teach and preach and then heal. See? Teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel, Matthew 4:23. Preaching and went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people. You see, this happened to Jesus, and it'll happen to you. If you learn to walk this way of teaching, preaching, and then healing, if you learn to walk this way, your fame is going to go abroad, and doors are going to open for you, because there's sick people everywhere. It isn't just poor people who are sick. It's rich people who are sick. It's government people who are sick. It's people in business who are sick. It's Muslims who are sick. It's religious people who are sick. All kinds of people of all kinds of backgrounds are sick, and they know that their God or their medicine or their hospital isn't enough to get them healed. They know that they need to get in touch with the true God, and they need to get in touch with the true God through you. So they'll reach out to you. See? This is what happened. His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics. And he healed them. See? Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and Decapolis. You see, if you can develop this healing ministry, you're going to have people in your church. That's right. I'm speaking especially to pastors. If you can develop this healing ministry in your church where it becomes known as a healing church, then people are going to come. Bless God forever. See? This idea of us having empty churches, it's not God's fault, and it's not the unsaved's fault. It's our fault. We're not meeting people's needs. That's right. If you get out and you start meeting people's needs, you're going to have plenty of work to do.
bless God forever.
Now, the reality of the Word and this type of approach to preparing people to receive their healing is that the Word does the work. The Word does the work. See? This is why when it comes to actual ministry, it's very simple. If you've prepared yourself and you've received the anointing and you've prepared the people properly, the act of imparting the anointing is very, very simple. It's very, very simple. See? The Word does the work. Say it with me. The Word does the work. Look at verse 20 of Psalm 107. Bless your heart. I love you. You see, this, I always think this way. Word, then healing. Word, then ministry. Teach the Word, preach the Word, then do the ministry. You know, I don't understand these people who try to do the ministry first and then have the preaching later. I don't understand that. See, because people come in off the streets and they're cold, they're hungry, they're depressed, they're upset, they've had a fight with their wife, you know, they've gotten bad news from their family, they've gotten all this stuff, and they come into your church, and then you try to minister to them, they're too cold. They need to get heated up, they need to get warmed up, they need to get blessed up, they need to get filled and with faith, and they need to get filled with the Word. And then they're ready to receive. You see, in verse 20 it says, Psalm 107, verse 20 says, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You see, you get the Word out there, you speak that rhema Word of God, which is simply the right Word at the right time. See? It's the right Word at the right time that imparts faith. You speak that Word and people will start getting healed and you don't even have to minister to them. That's right, because the Word does the work. The Word does the work. Many times I minister and I teach the Word and people get healed just hearing the Word of God. They get, you know, deliverance of diseases, cancers, all this kind of stuff, you know, marital traumas, all this kind of stuff comes under conviction and deliverance. See? These self-made problems or these man-made problems, natural suffering or demonic. You know, demons don't like the Bible. That's right. And you can deliver people of demons simply by teaching and preaching the Word, getting the Word into them. All of a sudden, they finally, you know, you're speaking the Word to them. All of a sudden, they finally have peace. Why? Because the demon that was in them just moved out. Because he was getting crowded out by the Word of God. You know, I see these tractors moving dirt, and that's what I see the Word of God doing. It's like a tractor in a person's mind is just pushing the garbage out. It's just pushing the trash out. It's just pushing the bad dirt. Hallelujah. Out of the way. And that's what it does. See, that's what it does. You speak the Word, you teach the Word, you give the Word, and by the Spirit of God, and it just moves. It's just like a tractor. It just moves the dirt out. Hallelujah. Bless God for the Word does the work. The Word does the work. So I need to get filled with the Word, and I need to get filled with the Spirit, so that when I speak the Word, it has the fire of God in it. It has the Spirit of God in it. It has the anointing of God in it that drives out the, you know, the enemy and brings healing and deliverance and blessing. So it makes your work in impartation so much easier when people have been filled with the Word. When the Word has done the work. That's right. Bless God forever. See? Now, this doesn't mean that you'll never have to lay hands on people. No. No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it means that when you do, to the greatest possible degree, their hearts will be prepared to receive, and they'll be able to receive. You see, you're in preparing the people, the great key, many, many times, is what Word do I speak to them, and how much of the Word do I speak to them? See? That's right. That's right. Bless God forever. And the Word will do the work. Now, in healing, I'm going to show you I think it's my favorite record of healing in the New Testament. Because there's so much love in this. And there's so much grace in this. And there's so much, there's the simplicity of the Word. The simplicity of the Word. But I love this record because it's just very startling to me. This is the record of the leper who was healed here in Matthew chapter 8, right after Jesus had spoken the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, he'd just taken three chapters of the Bible And when you read the Sermon on the Mount, you suspect that you're getting his sermon notes. You know, I mean, I think, you know, you could read the Sermon on the Mount in probably 15 minutes if you wanted to, or 10 minutes. I don't think Jesus got up there and rattled this whole thing off in 10 minutes. I think when you read the Sermon on the Mount, you're basically reading his sermon notes. And he was teaching the Word, and he was speaking the Word. That's right. And he, you know, comes up with this great summation of, you know, the man who builds his house upon a rock, the man who builds his house upon the sand, and he just sums the whole thing up. You know, he who hears my words and follows them, he's like the man who builds his house upon a rock. And people hear it, they're just receiving, they're receiving, they're receiving, they're just on fire, their hearts are lit up. Their hearts are lit up. And then what happens after that is this man comes forth. Remember I told you about the woman with the red dress, the woman who had the red blouse, and the Holy Spirit had showed me that I had an appointment with her afterwards. She was the first one to come up. That's right. I was teaching the Word for about 2.5 hours, just laying out the Word, just Word, Word, Word. No breaks, no stopping, no slowing down. I was speaking probably anywhere between 120 and 200 words a minute. You know, I was just flying, just the Word pouring out of me, just the Word pouring out of me. And for 2.5 hours, and then, you know, people's hearts were on fire. People's hearts were, receiving the Word. Just like that record in Luke chapter 24 where it says, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us by the Word of God? Hallelujah. You know, here was this man. He'd received the Word. He'd heard the Word. His heart was on fire, and he comes to the Master. And he had come down from the mountain. Great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him. His heart was on fire. Hallelujah, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Oh, bless God forever. Hallelujah. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him. And the Greek word here is haptomai, which means to seize or to embrace. You know, he didn't just, you know, touch this leper. He seized him. He embraced him. He put his arms around him. Now, you can imagine, this man was an untouchable. According to the law, he was not to be touched because his disease was so bad, it was so grievous that it could be imparted to the person who touches them. So in order to spare everybody else, this man had to be set apart. And if you've ever seen a leper, you know, their body rots. Their body rots. You know, I've seen healed lepers in India where they have no fingers left, because their fingers have become rotten with leprosy, and the fingers had to be cut off. That's right. You know, noses, you know, ears, other parts of the body, toes, other parts of the body just become rotten and have to be taken off, you know, and that's by surgery. And, you know, they didn't have surgery back in the first century, you know, unless it was with an axe or something like that. I mean, his body was literally rotten, was rotting. You can imagine the smell. You can imagine his clothes being covered with blood and bodily fluids and just being a mess. I mean, they didn't have, you know, washers and dryers and laundromats back then. They couldn't change their clothes every day. You know, I mean, these men had to live in leper colonies and leper places, you know, where they were separate from everyone else, and they just lived in their filth and lived in their squalor and they lived in their constant pain. But the greatest pain that they were suffering was the fact that no one could ever touch them. See, you don't realize, you go a day without being touched and you'll feel it. You go a week without physically being touched by someone else and you will feel it much greater. You know, we know that babies die. That sudden infant death syndrome, one of the causes of it is the fact that children don't get help. See? You know, why is the baby there? Because it needs to be helped. It needs to be helped. People need to be helped. And this man, the law says you can't touch him. But Jesus was above the law. He was walking in the love of God. He was the embodiment of the law. Hallelujah. And he was the embodiment of the Creator God. Hallelujah. And he reached out and he embraced that man. He held him in his arms. He loved him. That man maybe hadn't been touched by anyone in years. See? And yet Jesus didn't just touch him. Jesus embraced him. You see the great love and the great grace in that? And then he speaks the word that changes this man's life forever. He speaks the word. You see? He speaks the word. He speaks the specific word. He imparts the anointing to this man. Bless God forever. And he says, I will. Be thou whole. Be thou cleansed. Be thou cleansed. Hallelujah. I am willing. You be cleansed. And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. You know, the wounds healed up. You know, the bacteria, it's something that's really tiny. It's something like 1/700th of an inch. The bacteria that causes leprosy. That's right. It was destroyed. It was burned up by the fire of God out of every single wound. And this man's body, even in his clothing, everything was just shoom, was cleansed just instantly. Hallelujah. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And then he goes to say, and he tells him what to do according to the law, to go and offer the gift that Moses commanded. Hallelujah. But you see, here was the specific word, great love and great grace. These are the great foremost realities of healing. And you have to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Because if you're not strong in grace, you'll always judge people as being unworthy. You know, you haven't tithed enough. You haven't done this enough. You haven't even gotten saved yet. You're unworthy of receiving God's blessing. Well, that's where grace comes in. And you have to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. It's always about grace. It's always about grace. And it's great love. It's the demonstration of love. It's showing people that Jesus is relevant, that he's alive, that he's real, that he is, has a purpose and a love and a concern for them individually. See? And then you speak that specific word to them that ministers healing, that opens the door in their mind to the possibility of being healed. See? People are so frustrated and they're so hurt and they've been so rejected and they've gotten their hopes up. And you know what it says? It says hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you promise something and you can't deliver it, or you don't deliver it, you choose not to deliver it even though you promised it, you make that person sick, because hope deferred makes the heart sick. And this man and so many other people who need healing, they've gone to the doctor, they've tried this, they've tried that, they've tried something else, and each time it's failed. See? And that has made their heart sick. That's why you come with great love, with the specific word. You build the word, you build the word, you build the word, you speak the word, you impart the word of God to them with great love and great grace, until that door of their heart opens for them to receive the gift of God. Hallelujah. You see, they got to open that door. That door has been locked shut because of all their hurt, because of all their rejection, because of all the failures of the past. And if they're going to open it again, you better be ready and be ready to bring that gift of healing right in there. See, this man said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Boy, I mean, my heart just goes out to him. He says, Lord, if you think I'm worth it, if you think I'm worth it, you know, if you're willing to heal me, I've seen you heal other people, but I'm a leper. I'm untouchable. I've been rejected by everybody. I'm an outcast of society. People would wish that I would just die and be out of their sight. But he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Hallelujah. And Jesus didn't just touch him. He embraced him. Oh, he embraced him. I bet that man, he got so healed just being embraced, just having somebody touch him out of love. And then, he spoke the word. He says, I am willing. Be cleansed. Be cleansed. And then when he spoke those words, 5 words in your English text, he spoke those words with power. God just went through this man like lightning, and all of his pain was gone. His wounds began to heal. Maybe they healed instantly. I don't know. It doesn't say so. It says the leprosy was cleansed. It doesn't say the wounds were cleansed. But you get the leprosy cleansed, and the wounds will take care of themselves. See? Because it's the nature of the body to heal itself when and if the cause is removed. Bless God forever. See? This is the great realities. The 3 great realities of healing are the specific word, the right word at the right time, and great love and great grace. That's where you take over.